If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you. Let the celebration begin.
It's game week, Herb. It's game week.
Well, not technically, no. I mean, the game's next week. The game's Sunday. That's next week. The game's not this week. Next week's game week. But, yeah, the game's 6 days away. We know who's on the roster now. And not a ton of surprises, but a few. It doesn't seem real. You know, it doesn't – it might not even seem real Sunday. Probably won't. Here we go.
Yeah, it's game week. This is Eagle Eye, the podcast with Ruben Frank. I'm Dave Zangaro. We have some news to start off with, and we'll get to the –
That'd be like roster. Saying on New Year's Eve, if something's happening January 2nd, the playoff game is January 2nd, like – It's the playoff game is this year. No, it's next year.
You're probably one of those people who tells that terrible joke every year.
What joke is that?
I don't see you next year.
I don't know. What I do is I correct my podcast partner when he makes an egregious error about what week the game is. Well, people might end up trying to watch the game on the wrong day. All right. Anyway,
I'm not giving up. It's game week. We're going to talk a little bit about the roster construction, the practice squad, some interesting decisions there. But we start with the left tackle position. No longer Matt Pryor. Some news today on Monday morning. Jason Peters goes to Doug Peterson's office, says, "Hey, coach, put me in. I'm ready to go." This was always a possible outcome. But we ripped Jason Peters a little bit for possibly not doing this. I give him all the credit in the world for being willing to move to left tackle right now without a new contract because he realizes it's the only way for this thing to happen in week one.
Yeah, I think he must have seen Matt Pryor try to block Josh Sweat in practice and just I just can't do that to my teammate. I'm sure that's what happens. I just can't do this. And they did bring in Cordy Glenn, veteran left tackle. And Doug said he looked good, but I'm sure they'll keep his phone number in their Rolodex. People still had Rolodexes. Dave Price still has a Rolodex. But, even if he had a great workout and physical and passed it and everything, you're talking about a guy coming in on Wednesday and playing on Sunday. And I don't even know if that's a better option than having Matt Pryor out there. Probably is, but still. Now you have a guy who's made nine Pro Bowls as a left tackle. He's not ideal because he's 38 and, he's being held together with duct tape, but it's still way better than any of the other options.
Yeah, and maybe bringing in Cordy Glenn for a tryout kind of gave him a little wake-up call. Like, you know what, I see they're looking for options, but I know I'm the best option. Let's just do it. And I don't think this means he's not going to get paid. If anything, I think it's probably more likely that they do something for him now. This is kind of a move in good faith from JP, and you appreciate that if you're the Eagles. I think they probably appreciate this move more than him kind of holding out in a way to get money to move over to left tackle. This is a showing of good faith. This is what's best for the team. It certainly was best for Carson Wentz. And, hey, with Cordy Glenn, I wouldn't be opposed to them bringing him in as a backup if he's willing, sure. Because right now they really don't have much depth, at least anything they can really rely on if we assume that JP's at left tackle and Matt Pryor's at right guard. I mean, Matt Pryor's the only guy with any real experience behind the starters, so you would imagine he gets into that spot, and then you're left with you know, Nate Herbig and Jack Driscoll and Jordan Mailata, having a guy like Cordy Glenn on the bench, not a bad idea.
Yeah, no doubt. And I have not deleted my pre-write, so that's still in the hopper. Yeah, you bring him in, you give him a chance to learn the offense, and if he does have to play in a couple of weeks or so, you know, he's prepared. I would do that in a second. You know, if he did pass his physical and he's healthy. Now, he's a guy who wasn't in a camp, so who knows what kind of shape Cordy Glenn is in or any of that. You know, not that camps were that elaborate anyway, but he's been home since the Bengals cut him in March. But yeah, and Doug did not, I don't know why, he did not say Matt Pryor's the right guard. He said there's a bunch of guys in the mix. He mentioned Driscoll, the rookie from Auburn, and he mentioned Nate Herbig, who's the most experienced guy on the bench right now with 3 career snaps on offense. I think probably a tight end. Or it might have been at the end of the Giants blowout. But in any case, they have no depth. So I would bring a guy in. But I don't know why he wouldn't say Pryor's a right guard. If Pryor's playing right guard, you actually have the exact same offensive line that you finished last year with Peter, Samalu, Kelsey, Pryor, and Lane. Makes the most sense. These guys have played together as a group. It was weird. Like, most of this stuff, you know, the Doug never announces stuff like this in his press conference. You know, it's always announced like 3 days before he talks, but he just sprung it on us. You know, he was asked, I believe, by Rob Motti. You know, the first question for Doug was some kind of softball question that had nothing to do with Jason Peters, but no, he was asked by Rob. And he said, "Well, I got some news for you guys," and he broke the news on his press conference, which really doesn't happen very often. So that was interesting. And we talked to Carson, who he tried to show, you know, he tried to hide his relief. I think because out of respect for Matt Pryor, he said, "You know, I'd be confident with whoever they put out there. I trust the coaches." But he also said he's ecstatic that JP is in there, which is understandable. He saw Josh Sweat and Matt Pryor the other day. So it gives him a fighting chance. And right now they have a pretty good offensive line. It's an older group, but it's a pretty good group.
Yeah, I mean, this was once they lost both Brooks and Dillard, this is the best they can do. And you're right. I mean, it is the line they left off with last year. And I thought Matt Pryor did okay in that playoff game. I didn't think he was great. He wasn't Brandon Brooks, of course, but I think he can hold up better at right guard than he can at left tackle.
Then
at tackle, you know, if he really started out there, the Eagles would have had to complete, I think I brought up this on one of the last podcasts, but they would have had to completely change their offense. You're talking about really chipping on just about every play, and you can't do it every play, but this will at least let them say, you know what, we trust Jason Peters, even against a really good pass rusher like Chase Young. We trust you to be out there on your own with him. And that opens up the playbook a little bit more.
Although I do think they will help JP at times. I think they have to.
Well, you also have Lane Johnson on the other side coming back from an injury dealing with Ryan Kerrigan, who's given him trouble before. This is a good defensive line from the Washington football team. I mean, all across the board, they're pretty good. I mean, they have Jonathan Allen and Ryan Kerrigan and Chase Young, Daron Payne, Matt Ioannidis. Like, they have a real – if there aren't a lot of strengths with that roster, but defensive line is clearly one of them. It's a big test, and they just couldn't go into this game with Matt Pryor against Chase Young. You just can't do it. This is a move that needed to happen. I think they do pay JP too.
I would. I mean, I would have done it before. I just, once he starts making threats, then kind of changes the whole equation. But yeah, I would definitely take care of him. And you know, I've been mulling a column for the last week about how, you know, Jason Peters' decision not to play left tackle without more money really tarnishes his reputation, his whole legacy as an Eagle, because he's an all time great Eagle. He is. He's one of the best players in Eagles history, and I'm glad I don't have to write that column. I didn't want to write it, but I was really afraid I would. So he showed me a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we were pretty honest about what we thought about his decision at first. And if that would have lingered into the season, I mean, if he really would have been at right guard as he's watching Matt Pryor get destroyed three spots away from him, that would have been tough. But you're right. We don't have to worry about that. He's back at left tackle where he belongs. And we'll see. Maybe he's back there next year. Who the heck knows? Maybe 45 at one point, still playing left tackle. But it's definitely the best case scenario right now. We'll see what happens. The Eagles did. Yeah, you got something else, Guy.
I was just saying, when he's 45, they might be like, JP, can you please go back to right guard?
He'll refuse. He'll say, I need more money to go to right guard. Some roster moves. We talked to you guys after the initial 53-man roster, and we told you it is an initial 53-man roster. Things will change. And, of course, that was the case. The Eagles claimed a running back, a really exciting running back named Jason Huntley from New Mexico State. I remember this kid during the pre-draft process because he's kind of an exciting electric player. He wasn't invited to the combine. He was a fifth-round pick of the Lions. They cut him, which was a little bit of a surprise from some reading out in Detroit. But, I don't know if he'll be ready to play on offense right away, but there's a lot to like about this kid.
Yeah, well, you know, he was a great great returner, great kick returner in college. I think he had three touchdowns on kick returns in one season 2 years ago in 2018. He was very productive. I mean, he's a little guy. He's going to I know a lot of people are going to compare him to Donnell Pumphrey, but he's bigger. I mean, he's short. He's 5'9", but he's like 195, 200. So,
and he's fast.
I mean, Donnell Pumphrey was fast. He just
not
had
fast enough to overcome his lack of size. If you're going to be that tiny, you better be really fast. And he
was. I don't think it was the straight line speed. I mean, he only ran in a straight line. Remember that big play he had last preseason where he broke free. I can't remember if it was a pass or a run, and there was only one guy to beat, and he just ran straight into him. It was like a 40-yard gain, but like all he had to do was cut right or cut left, and he's got a touchdown. He just ran right into the guy. But I mean, this guy was drafted this year. Well, I don't know, for you it might be last year. April. I don't know if that was last year or this year, but he was drafted in the fifth round, like you said, and he's he's a young kid. He's 22, I believe. He's from Dallas, so I don't know if that he gets points against that. But he was a really productive player. And really good receiver in college, caught a lot of balls. I don't know what level they're playing at New Mexico State, really productive player. I like the move. He had one game against Louisiana. He had 373 all-purpose yards in one game, including returns. So, bring him in. Let's see what he's got. This has been about speed, and they certainly got a lot of fast guys. I'd love to see Huntley, Deshaun, Killens, Hightower, and Quez line up for a 200.
I'd take Deshaun, I think.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, but this is it. Like, I had a lot of people ask me about, well, why'd they get this guy when they have Adrian Killens? And, yeah, there are some similarities. This guy, a little higher pedigree and a little more productive as a receiver in college. We saw Killens have the ability to do that in training camp, but we know Huntley can do it. He did it at a consistent level. And the kick return part of it is really big, especially right now for this team. It looked like Jalen Reagor was going to be their kick returner, and now he's on the shelf for at least a game. So you have, I think, right away, Huntley becomes a kick returner.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Didn't return punts in college. I don't know if he can do that or not. The one thing I did read about him coming out of Detroit, every report was pretty good, looked good running between the tackles, looked good as a receiver. The one knock on him was that he had trouble blocking, and the Eagles just aren't going to play him if he can't block. They don't play running backs who can't block, but they have Deuce Staley and they have Darren Sproles in that building, and if there are two people on the planet who can get a running back to block, I'll take those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to play him on offense right now. I wouldn't even call him a running back. I'd call him a returner. There might be a couple situations where you might throw to him, but as far as a runner going out there on first and 10, I just don't see it. But I like the move, and I like bringing him in the building. I wonder if the Lions thought they could sneak him through to waivers, you know, to the practice squad.
Yeah, it seems like that might have been the case. Like, everything I read about him, they liked him. Fifth rounder, sometimes you got to be careful. The Eagles were lucky they were able to get their sixth-round pick, Prince Tega, through and get him to their practice squad. But you never know. You're always running the risk. Yeah. And hey, the Eagles did lose three players when they lost one player.
Yeah, they lost one player.
Yeah.
I don't think you
never know. I mean, they could have put Rasul on the practice squad.
I think they were done with Rasul. They could have put Sharif on the practice squad.
That's fair.
Noah Tago was the other guy they lost.
Yeah, and we should have led with that, honestly.
Yeah, probably.
It's bad for our brand here.
I was worried about you.
Yeah, Noah Tago to Indianapolis.
Dave called Coach Reich when it happened and just lit into him. Like, what are you doing?
But that was clearly a case where the Eagles thought, hey, there's probably not that much tape on this guy. We can sneak him through and get him to a practice squad, and then we'll have the flexibility to bring him up for a game. He was clearly the third tight end, and they got burnt. It happens. It's a tough thing to know, especially this. It was kind of crazy. Only 17 players from Final Cuts were claimed. Three of them were Eagles.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. It just shows you the strength of the roster.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good thing, or it means they kept the wrong players. One of those two. But, yeah, I thought they were going to get Tongi out of their practice squad and then move him up, be their third tight end. And now they're left with Caleb Wilson on the practice squad. And there have been reports, kind of like I thought there would be, about Richard Rodgers possibly coming back. You need a third tight end on game day. I think you do, especially with how much this team runs 12 personnel. Look, if you lose Dallas Goedert or Zach Ertz, you're kind of screwed because you don't have a player that can fill in for them talent level, but you don't want to have to scrap pages of your playbook and your game plan for that week because you lose a player. And so I think they need three tight ends going into games.
I would agree with that. And Richard Rodgers makes the most sense. He was actually with Washington, I believe, this preseason. He's had two stints here. He's a guy who's caught – I think he caught 58 passes one year, right, when he was down in –
been a while, in Green Bay.
Packers. Yeah, it was like 2004, but he can't catch. He's not – you know, he'll give you more than Josh Perkins as a blocker, but he's, you know, he's not George Kittle when it comes to blocking either. But he knows the system. He knows the offense. He can give you a little scouting report on Washington.
Yeah, probably. And he can hit a home run. So that's what Carson's looking into.
He's a home run derby champion in Carson's softball game. It was a very scary moment, though, for 18 hours, Dave. Eagles Nation.
17 hours and 35 minutes, Room.
17 hours. So for 18 hours, Philly.
Oh, next year, huh?
Eagles Nation was – well, I always round up, you know. I don't want to confuse people with 17 hours and 35 minutes. But, no, Cravon LeBlanc gets waived, and we kind of knew they were going to bring him back. You never know, though.
Waived. That's an important distinction.
Right. Right. He's not subject to the waiver claim procedure because he's a vested veteran. So he's – if you say, look, and I'm sure they had this conversation with him. Doug wasn't asked about him, was he, today? We didn't have a whole lot of time with Doug. What if somebody offers Cray, you know, more money than he's making here? And it's a question for Cray. I mean, do the Eagles tell him, look, come to us if somebody offers you more money and we'll match it? You know, does he call their bluff and say, oh, yeah, the Seahawks offered me, you know, $17 million over three?
Yeah. I mean, that's the risk you take when – you have one of these kind of wink-wink deals in place. Anyone could have signed him, and he could have gone back on a deal. He doesn't owe the Eagles anything, honestly. It worked out. And, they obviously had the conversation with him, like, hey, we're going to do this. So let me explain the situation. We didn't really do that yet. The Eagles, basically, in order to claim the running back, Jason Huntley, they had to remove a player from their 53-man roster, And that was before they could put guys on IR. So even though they eventually put Jalen Reagor and Quez Watkins on IR, they couldn't do a swap there and still get the running back. So they had to find a guy who was already on the 53 who wasn't going to IR, and they chose Craven LeBlanc over some other players. I think the one that kind of stuck out to me would have been Alex Singleton, but Singleton would have needed to go through the waiver claim process, and then that kind of exposes him to the 31 other teams. This way, you cut Craven, he becomes a free agent, you tell him just wait until tomorrow, we'll re-sign you, and that's what they do. But you're right, there is some inherent risk when you let a guy free for even if it's 17 hours and 35 minutes.
Remember that the Eagles had to do that one year. It was 2002, actually. They were going to have to cut a player and bring him back the following week. And I can't remember. I think Akers was hurt. So they had to bring a kicker in, and they were going to cut a guy and put him on a practice squad for one game and then bring him back. And I believe the kicker was Todd France, I'm not going to mention the writer who tried to call Todd France and ended up calling the other Todd France, the agent, by mistake. but in any case, I ran into Andy Reid in the hallway at the NovaCare complex, and I asked him who they were going to cut, and he said he made me guess, and I didn't guess it, and it ended up being AJ Feely, and he was pissed. And even though the whole thing was, you know, we're going to re-sign you and we're going to make up the money you lose. And later in the season, he ended up starting three games, a quarterback for the Eagles. It was a guy, he went from the practice squad to starting a quarterback in like the span of 3 weeks. But yeah, Cray, I think Cray's a good player. I'm glad they didn't lose him. And I still think there's got to be a role for him somewhere in the defense. I don't know where it's going to be, but I like the way he plays the game.
Yeah, you can probably find a way to use him in the dime package, kind of play him up close to the line. I think you can find ways to get him on the field. I honestly don't know how good he is. I think he's a solid player. We haven't really seen a ton of him, honestly.
No.
I knew he was a fan favorite. I don't think I realized how much of a fan favorite he was until the last 24 hours here. People were going crazy about this. And I was
35 minutes.
No, well, now it's 24 because his time has passed.
Why do you think that is? I have a couple theories.
I don't know. I think part of it – I think there's a bunch of factors. One is that he's kind of a scrappy guy. He has a cool backstory, kind of had to fight for everything in this league. He plays tough. You know, when the Eagles were going through cornerbacks like crazy, he was a tough guy. He made a big interception in the playoff game. I think he's an easy guy to be a fan of.
Yeah. He's a guy that really wears his heart on his sleeve. He's very open about his journey and, you know, the struggles. I mean, he's been cut. I think he's been cut. I looked it up. I don't know, he's been cut like three times in his career. Now I guess it's four, but, I think the way he plays the game, he's a very physical player. He likes to stick his nose in there and make tackles and support the run. But there's other guys like that too. You know, Jalen Mills is similar.
But we haven't seen Craven LeBlanc get beat by deep balls.
We haven't seen him, you know, knock a ball away from Julio Jones with the, you know, that trip to the Super Bowl on the line. You know, Jalen was a seventh round pick who, you know, save the season, NFC Championship game 2017.
Well, that was the divisional round.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was a week before. But he saved the season in any case. There is no NFC Championship game if he doesn't make that play. I think Jalen Mills should be more popular than he is, but we're way off topic. I'm glad Craven's back, and hopefully he doesn't leave again. Hopefully he doesn't leave us again, Dave.
So the reason they had to do that before was because they couldn't use the IR guys to swap there. Two players end up on IR, not Jalen Reagor, which is a good thing, you think. Quez Watkins and Will Parks end up on IR. We have to explain the IR rules every time I think we talk about this because we might have new listeners. Basically, the return guys for IR this year, all they have to do is be on the roster – the initial 53-man roster, if you put on IR, you have to miss three games and then you're eligible to return. So it's a huge difference from IR rules of the past. Heck, a few years ago, you had to designate as you put them on IR, and now you can put a guy on there anytime of the season. You don't have to designate them. You can bring back as many as you want. This rule is put in the place for COVID, but I like it anyway, honestly.
Yeah, there's no reason not to. I think up through 2013 or 2011, if you went on IR, your season was done. There was no recalling guys. And then it was one guy, and it was two. Now it's unlimited. You can put as many guys on IR as you want. And the Eagles, I'm sure, will be using that generously because they do seem to get guys banged up. But it's, you know, you think back at some of the guys who, you know, a guy gets hurt in week two. In the past, the only option you had was to keep him on a roster and use up a roster spot. You know, if he's going to be hurt 10 weeks, you know, you don't have him for the playoffs. Now you do. So it is a huge difference. And I hope they do keep that. And it's got to be, you know, collectively bargained. But I think it benefits both sides.
Yeah, I guess the fear and the reason they haven't done it in the past is you're worried about teams kind of stockpiling talent and kind of taking advantage of it. And teams will. I mean, let's be honest. Teams will find ways to take advantage of it. They're going to try to manipulate the roster any way they can. But ultimately, I think the good probably outweighs the bad here. Will Parks is down now for 3 weeks. Quez Watkins down for 3 weeks. Will Parks, obviously, the bigger of the two losses. Without him, they'll be relying on, I think, Marcus Epps quite a bit. Maybe they'll be less likely to go to their dime package. Maybe they'll find ways, like I said, to get Cravon in there. That's a loss. It's a hamstring too. So those are scary injuries because you never really know when you're fully healthy.
As Sidney Jones taught us the last few years.
Yeah. But Jalen Reagor not being on IR is a really good sign. It means they think within the next 3 weeks, he's going to play.
And other guys too. I mean, we haven't heard much about, you know, Derek Barnett, Javon Hargrave, Miles Sanders. I mean, even Lane Johnson, who hasn't practiced in 2 weeks now,
Jarrett Avery
as well. So all those guys are on the 53. We'll find out Wednesday at practice, you know, who's out there, but there's a chance a couple of them might be able to play in the opener. We just don't know. You know, that's,
yeah. I mean, Wednesday, they've had a lot of rest, some of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, Barnett and Hargrave, they never even made it to training camp. Miles got hurt, I think, on day two.
Really early, yeah.
I think it was day two or day three. So, you know, you worry about they haven't had any work. There's just so many unknowns. It's such a weird season. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather have Miles in uniform than not. You know, we might see a lot of Boston Scott and Corey Clement in the opener. I can't see Miles Sanders coming out of nowhere and not getting any work or just a few days' work or a couple days and then getting 20 touches. I don't see that happening. So
yeah, they'll probably have to ease him back into it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think they can get him. If he looks fine week one, I think they can get him up to full speed week two.
I would think so.
Young guy. I don't think they have to really have like a long ramp up period for him. I think you kind of bring him along slowly week one, you limit his carries. And then week two, if he's fine, he's good to go. You go full steam ahead.
Yeah. We don't even know if he will be playing Sunday, but next week, but you know, it's all encouraging. You know, for all the injuries, the fact that, you know, Dillard's done for the year, Brandon Brooks is done for either most of the year or the year, we don't know exactly, but, you know, he's done long range. You know, they're actually in, you know, and then you have Quez and Parks on IR. Quez wasn't going to play anyway. They're actually not in that bad shape considering all the injuries. A lot of scary looking injuries. And there were a lot of, I think the fact that we don't get any information on these guys anymore kind of makes everything seem a lot more ominous. But they're going to, you know, I would think by week two or three, they're going to be, I mean, they might lose guys in the interim, but they're a lot healthier than I think people are giving them credit for. They're not in bad shape right now. Obviously the O-line is a little banged up, but I don't know if they're not a better O-line with Jason at left tackle than Dillard anyway.
Yeah, that's interesting. Would you rather have a line of Dillard, Samalu, Kelsey, Peters, Johnson, or would you rather have Peter Saimalu, Kelsey, Pryor, Johnson.
Or would you rather have Pryor
no.
at left tackle and Brandon no. Brooks at right guard?
No.
Okay.
No. If it starts with Matt Pryor at left tackle, I'm going to say no.
It's fair.
Yeah. The last thing we wanted to get to was the practice squad. Really one of the most fun parts of the last few days is finding the practice squad names and on them, Josh McCown, 41 years old, oldest practice squad player ever.
How about Carson giving him grief? He's like, yeah, he just keeps breaking records. I'm really proud of, Josh. He's now the oldest practice squad player in history. But yeah, it's, I think it's a lot of people were pissed about it. I don't get that. It makes so much sense. There's 16 spots on the practice squad. So you, and Doug said, we're not even sure all the details yet, but it sounds like he's going to stay in Texas and be an emergency quarantine quarterback. And why not? Yeah. I mean, if this virus happens to hit the QB room, I'd rather have Josh McCown out there who knows the offense, who knows the personnel, knows the coaches. I'd rather him played in a playoff game and did okay. Didn't do bad. He played the second half with a torn hamstring. I'd rather have him out there than a guy you just bring, you know, you sign Kyle Lauletta, you know, week two.
Yeah, and, I mean, we don't know exactly what his week-to-week role is going to be in the virtual meetings and all that stuff, but he can provide value even if he stays in Texas all year and collects a paycheck. I think he can still help Carson Wentz. He can help him look through things. I mean, so at least he gives you something as opposed to a lot of, like, if it was Kyle Lauletta and they told him to stay at home, I mean, Prince Kyle, but he's not helping Carson Wentz every week. I think Josh McCown has that potential.
Yeah, and he'll make $204,000 if he stays on the practice squad.
I think that's where the there's some backlash because it is a lot of money to sit at home. It's good work if you can find it.
Hey, we don't have to pay it. I don't care. He deserves $200,000 more than some guys on this team deserve their contracts. I know that. I think it's a great idea. And I mean, and this is something that the Eagles are good at, is kind of just, and I think he talked about this the other day, just kind of understanding all the rules and finding out how to best take advantage of the new rules. And they'll certainly do that.
Yeah. It was interesting about a month or so ago. His agent, Mike McCartney, who's a veteran agent, talked to the Monday Morning Quarterback about this and kind of said he was bringing this idea to teams about the possibility of quarantining a quarterback. He has a few veteran QBs. Josh was obviously one of them, but yeah, I think it makes sense. And I was kind of always on board with the idea of quarantine. I was kind of holding that flag for a while. I would have probably quarantined Nate Sudfeld. I think that would have, honestly, I still think that would make sense, but they're not going to do it. It's not a bad idea to have an insurance policy this season, because as good as everything's looking right now, we have no idea what's going to happen during the season. And if you have a team and your quarterback room gets wiped out, you're screwed. There's just no other way around it. So, yeah, $200,000 insurance policy here, I think it's worth it. And well, it's not like who else are we going to get there, you know?
Clayton Thorson's available.
Yeah. No, I mean, and like you have 16 – if you had 10 practice squad spots, that'd be different. But with 16 yeah. – You can do it. You can use a spot on that.
I wonder who the oldest previous Eagle practice squad member was. I was wondering if it was Josh Perkins. I think he was 27.
Perk's a little older. Yeah, that maybe. I'm trying to think. Probably. None of those other guys were that old.
I'll get Ganod working on that one.
We'll
come back on our next podcast. Any other...
Yeah, we can kind of go through the practice squad. There are some – I mean, the Eagles got a lot of their players through waivers. I think a lot of the ones they wanted to get to their practice squad, they got there. Deontay Burnett, who honestly, he has a chance – I think he might be playing this weekend. They only have 5 healthy receivers. So
– It's interesting also, the only guy on the practice squad who wasn't – in camp with the Eagles is Josh McCown. Everybody mm-hmm. else was in training camp at some point. Fulgham came in late. I think somebody else came in late, but yeah, it's an interesting group because usually you kind of bring guys from other teams and stuff. But I think this year, without any game film, without any preseason game film, it's also why waiver claims, I would guess, were way down. There's only, I think, 17.
Way down. 17. Normally, there's
usually 50. It's usually like 60 or 70, right? So
I think last year was like 51, 52.
Okay, 60 or 70 is close.
You round up. I get it.
That's right. I round everything up. Yeah. But, yeah, let me ask you this. Yeah, you think who else on the practice squad has a chance? Like, you know, last year, well, half the team was on the practice squad. I mean, Boston got Greg Ward, I guess, are the two, you know, most notable guys to go from the practice squad to the active roster last year. Who would you guess, looking at this year's practice squad, will make an impact at some point?
Yeah, I mean, I think Burnett's a pretty easy one just because we know he can play, and right now they could use him. Joe Osman is a guy who I think can play. I think he did enough to make the roster. He didn't, but he probably deserved the spot over a guy like Gennard Avery even. I'm looking through maybe Graylin Arnold at some point. Who was that?
Trevor Williams.
Trevor Williams, the cornerback. Yeah, I mean, he has NFL experience. He's, aside from Josh McCown, he's the most experienced guy on the practice squad. Yeah, that's fine. They don't really have any cornerback depth. They only have five.
Yeah, he's my guy. We have a little side bet.
That's fine. Raekwon Williams, too, has a shot. They only kept four defensive tackles. One of them is Hargrave, who's been hurt. You never know there.
And just to go over one more rule, each team can bring two guys up from the practice squad to the 53 for game day, or the 55 for game day, and then get them back to the practice squad after the game without going through the waiver process. I know there's limits on – you can't bring the same guy up, I think, more than twice in the season. So you can't just keep bringing the same guy up from the practice squad and, you know, and have an extra roster spot. It's basically if you need a corner that week, if you need a center that week, you need a pass rusher, you bring them up and send them back down. And these are all good rules. They're all kind of pandemic related rules because the thinking is there's a good chance teams are going to need just more players available on game day. So far though, I'll tell you what, good for the NFL because what are there, three guys on the COVID list now? We don't even know how many, if any, of those tested positive. They were just on the list. I didn't think we'd get to this point, you know, 3 weeks after camp started. It just speaks volumes to the care that the players and coaches and staff members are taking and the protocols that are in place to protect everybody.
Yeah, so far so good. I do want to – I'm cautiously optimistic because I still think the biggest hurdle is going to be when – you have teams traveling and actually playing each other. I think your risk is probably so much greater under those circumstances. But if you didn't get to this point, they'd be sunk, right? I mean, I did. I had some questions about how this would work. But yeah, it's worked great. I mean, the Eagles have probably been hit about as hard as any team. They had three guys on the list and their head coach tested positive. So they came out of it fine, and you don't know what week to week's going to bring. You can still be screwed if your starting quarterback gets it. There's not much you can do, but all you can do is control being safe. And I've been impressed with the Eagles for how open they've been about kind of holding each other accountable. Even the leaders on the team said, hey, we have to make sure our guys are doing what they need to do. They're not taking unnecessary risks. It doesn't mean a guy is not going to get it if he's doing all the right things. It can happen, but you kind of have to lessen the risk as much as you can. And it seems like they're doing that.
Especially the young guys. You know, you got guys who are a lot of them in a big city for the first time. They have money for the first time. Well, as of today, they will. They have, you know, security. There's a lot of temptations out there, a city like Philadelphia. And, you know, we'll see how these next few weeks go. But so far, I mean, who was it? Somebody asked Davion Taylor. I think it was him about, you know, what do you do after you get out of practice? He's like, I go to bed. I take my playbook. I take and study in bed and dream about the plays. Yeah, 53 guys like that doing that, just going right back to the hotel. And a lot of them will be getting apartments, the guys who make the team. But, yeah, just hopefully it can continue and get some games out of this thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of Eagle Eye. If you enjoy the podcast, please do us a big favor, rate and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back with you guys later this week. We have a lot more to talk about as we get ready for the first football Sunday of the season. We'll catch you soon.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.